Isaiah 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. That thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for your word that we can study and we can apply to our lives, Lord. Help us do that this morning, Lord. Help us to open up our hearts to your word, to understand what you would have us to know, to understand what you would have us to do, Lord. We have responsibilities, and we know, Lord, that we don't always fulfill them, but you're always there to encourage us, Lord, and provide us with what we need when we do try. Help us, Lord, in all that we do. Bless this church. Bless its teaching of your word, Lord. And if there's anyone here that is in need of salvation, help them to know Jesus Christ as their Savior before they leave this morning. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. This sermon this morning is directed to the Christians. But that doesn't mean that non-Christians are left out. This passage here, I can't really tell you when the Lord brought it to my attention. He brought it to my attention many months ago. And when I read it, it just struck a nerve in me. And I just put it aside. I kept it in the back of my head. It kept reoccurring. And finally, the pastor came to me and said, "Barney, will you fill in for me on this date?" I said, "Sure, I got something." So in this passage, what I want to direct us to and what I feel that the Lord is telling us here is what's happening to our country today. Now, each and every day we see how the United States is falling deeper and deeper into the depraved imaginations of men. Our government openly lies to us. It is demanded that we approve of gay marriage. Confused and mentally unstable people that want to be another sex, cutting up their bodies to accomplish this, are declared heroes. Millions of unborn babies are murdered each and every year in the name of convenience and research and in profit. Homosexuality is given special protection and privileges, while Christians are condemned to believe for their believing in true love between a man and a woman. Hollywood spews out sex and violence. Pastors stand up in front of their congregations and preach that the Bible is only a book written by men and it needs to be corrected to reflect the current society. Folks, we're in a mess. I mean, this country is just, I'm just dumbfounded each and every day at how our nation is becoming more and more wicked. It's unbelievable. We don't need people. We don't need countries outside destroying us. We're destroying ourselves. It's a terrible thing. It just amazes me how we got to this situation. And as I studied this verse, God began to show me at least some of the reasons we got to this point. When our country was established, it was on a foundation of the Christian Bible. Many today want to dispute this, but one only has to go to the historical records to see that our founding fathers anchored their lives and this nation in the Christian Bible. Just some of the quotes. "The Christian religion is, above all the religions that ever prevailed or existed in ancient or modern times, the religion of wisdom, virtue, equity, and humanity." That's John Adams. "The Declaration of Independence laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity." That's John Quincy Adams. These are signers of our declarations, our Constitution. "While we are zealously performing the duties of good citizens and soldiers, We certainly ought not to be inattentive to the higher duties of religion. To the distinguished character of patriot, it should be our highest glory to add the more distinguished character of Christian. It's George Washington. And this is from Daniel Webster. Whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. Folks, you can't get around the fact that this nation was founded on Christian beliefs, and that Christianity was to be elevated in our nation, not put down, not destroyed. How is it then that a nation founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs would be leading the world not only away from, but against those beliefs? We can find the answer here in God's Word. Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because doubt has rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Now, Hosea is a book about the 10 tribes of the Jewish kingdom, the northern Jewish kingdom called Israel. It was once part of the whole kingdom established by God when he brought them out of bondage in Egypt. The Jewish people were selected by God to be his people and be purified, and he purified them in the wilderness for 40 years before he brought them into the land. But even though this nation was founded by the hand of God, they forgot him over time. Have we done that too? Have we forgotten God? Sure we have. And it's not just that we've forgotten God, but we have people that just want to stamp him out of our nation. The resemblance between Israel and the United States is unmistakable. They were founded on the principles laid down by God the Father, and the United States was founded on the principles laid down by God the Son, Jesus Christ. Both started with the blessings of God, and both turned away and against God. What God says to Israel in the book of Hosea can be applied to us just as well. Now, first, we must establish whom Hosea 4:6 is talking to as it is expressed to a specific group of people in Israel. The context of this passage is God's displeasure with the priests of Israel. The priests were the spiritual leaders of Israel. They were a special group. When they went into the promised land, every family was given land except those of the priesthood, of the Levites. Because God says, I am your inheritance. In other words, their inheritance was to serve God from one generation to the next generation. They were very special. They were the chosen of God to be the intercessors between God and man. So they were very special. Now, I try to be very careful when applying Old Testament principles to the age of grace that we live in today. Now, many principles of the Old Testament still apply. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not worship any other god other than me, saith the Lord. So we know that those principles apply. But not all of the principles of the Old Testament apply. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a life for a life. Do we apply that to Christianity today? No. Because Jesus made it very clear that we no longer live under the law. We live under grace, and we're to act as people under grace. He says in Luke 6:27-28, but I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. That's completely different, isn't it, than revenge? We're to love our enemies. Now, I know how hard that is. I mean, it's kind of And you see what goes on out there in the world. It's awful hard to love your enemies. When you see people attacking God's word, when you see people attacking Christ, it's really hard to love them. But thank God that Jesus loved you and me when we were still enemies of His. He died for us. Even when we were against Him. But so He teaches us to do the same. Now, so if Hosea 4:6 is speaking to the priests of Israel, how is this relevant to us today? That was my question. Okay, how do we apply this to us? It is because if you have put your faith in the saving grace of Jesus Christ and accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, you've also accepted the priesthood. I can show you that in God's Word. Just hold your finger at Hosea and go over to Revelations. Revelations 1, very first chapter. Revelations 1, 6. It says, hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Look at Revelations 5:10. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Turn all the way back to Revelations 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. We've been made priests, folks. Now, in Sunday school last week, we mentioned that we were made kings and priests, and somebody came to me and says, well, Barney, if I'm a king, maybe I should be, you know, greeted that way. I didn't take the time to tell the person that our example of king that we're to follow is King Jesus. And He gave His life for His kingdom. Are we willing to give our life for our kingdom? Nah, there's a question. But we are made priests. So now that you know that becoming a Christian carries with it the responsibility of the priesthood, where do we go from there? So, what are the responsibilities of a priesthood? It's a good question. A priest acts as a go-between man and God. A priest expresses to man what God wants him to know and intercedes on the behalf of man to God. Now, no, we don't have to go out and start sacrificing animals. We don't have to put on robes and walk around and just, you know, in prayer all the time. And no, you don't have to learn Latin. No, this is not Christ type of priest. We don't have to do all this showy stuff. We have to just be very simple. Although we never do it enough, prayer is the easiest part of being a priest. We're to pray for people, folks. That's where we intercede. We pray to the Lord Jesus for people and their needs. We prayed all week for the pastor and his sons to have a good time, to get home safely. We pray all the time. How many here prayed this week? Okay, wonderful. How many prayed yesterday? There you go. You see, it's very easy to pray, isn't it? So that part of the priesthood, you got down pat, right? No problem. We got it going. But there's another part of the priesthood, and that is teaching God's Word. That is expressing what God wants man to hear to man. That's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? Now, for my Sunday school class, I apologize that this is sort of running in from what we said to what we're doing now, but it all goes together. God has called us into certain responsibilities which we have to fulfill. Not to get saved. Don't get me wrong there. You put your trust in Jesus Christ, you are saved. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with serving the Lord. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people. Who is he talking about here? What's that? Christians. Well, here he's talking about the Jews, but it can be applied to us. Now, how is it applied to us? First, to the Christians that claim the name of Christ. We have so-called Christian churches today ordaining homosexuals and transgender people because they lack knowledge and belief in God's Word. All around this country, this morning, we have pews filled with people listening to sermons that fail to teach and even distort God's Word. And the people sitting in those pews are so ignorant of God's Word, they don't know the difference. That's a shame, folks. That's a shame to have God's Word right there in front of you and to have someone stand up in front of them and say, "Well, yes, we know what it says, but really what it should say." And they begin to distort it. So we have Christians. Second, this applies to our fellow citizens in this nation. We have established that this nation was founded on Christian beliefs, so that should connect every citizen to Christianity. Yes, we have the freedom to reject God, but it's God who gave us that freedom, and it's that freedom of rejection or choice that many in this world want to take away. But God gave it to us because love has to do with choice. God didn't want robots. He wanted men and women that could make a choice. Because you have to have choice in order to have love. Now the word destroyed here in this is translated from the Hebrew word meaning cut down. The people were literally cut down by an outside force, which is Satan. We do not faint away or shrivel up and die. We open ourselves up to our enemies to be destroyed. Is it that what's happening today? What defense do young people have against the society that they're facing today? I mean, they're bombarded with all this filth coming through TV and through magazines and through all this other media. They go to college and they have professors telling them that there is no God and that they're foolish to believe in it. When they get out into the workforce tells them there is no God. You have to work for everything that you get. And what you get, you have to enjoy to the fullest. What defense do they have if they don't have the Word of God to say, no, that's not right. There is a better way. So do we find America being attacked for the Christian doctrine it was established with? Yes. For lack of knowledge, God says that the people are destroyed because of lack of knowledge. Is this lack of knowledge of current political actions? Is this lack of knowledge that others want to destroy us? I mean, how many here know that there's people out there that want to destroy America? Yeah. We don't have that lack of knowledge. No, this is lack of knowledge of God's Word and thus the knowledge of God. In Hosea 4:1, just the first verse of that chapter, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Mercy, truth. Boy, is that absent from America. I mean, we're killing so many unborn children. We're harvesting their bodies. You know, I listen to public radio, and they always want to refer an unborn baby as just selves or whatever. But folks, in order to harvest human body parts, you have to have a human body, right? I mean, even those that are involved in this industry have themselves said, these are body parts. And yet they go on, it's okay, it's profitable. Well, it's convenient. Well, it's a woman's right. What a shame that we gave women that right to murder their own children. I'm sorry. It's wrong. It's wrong by God's word. And it should be wrong for us. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. It is because many of the Christian priesthood has rejected the knowledge of God's word, he has now rejected them as priests. Remember what I said was the duties of the priest? When we reject the knowledge of God's word, we can no longer be intercessors between man and Christ. When a church rejects God's word, that says a woman is not to be ordained, God removes them from the priesthood and allows them to seek other gods. Just look around you. You show me a church that is now ordaining homosexuals and others who did not first ordain women. Now, I'm not against women here, folks. I love women. I got a wife and two daughters. I love women. I love my wife. Okay? Love my wife. And my daughters. So, and I have great respect for them. They're part of the priesthood. They're a tremendous part of the priesthood. And I want them to be as active in it as I am. Because they are also given that individual responsibility to Christ to be teaching God's word. In 1 Corinthians 14:34, it says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. The context of this verse does not pertain to the ability of women, but it pertains to the authority in the church. I learned a great deal from many of you ladies sitting right here. Just your enthusiasm about God's word, just your questions about God's word, it encourages me, it teaches me. Women are great teachers. Women are the first teachers. Who teaches the children to not run into the street, not touch the fire, not to do things that would harm them? It's the women. So it's not that women don't have the ability. No reason God set this up is because he wanted men to be active in the church. Because, folks, when you let the ladies take over, guess what the men do? They sit back and go, okay, I'll go fishing. Do you want to? It's right here in the Bible, folks. Just all you got to do is go to the first chapter and look at Adam and Eve. Eve chose to take the apple, and even though Adam was overheard, did he stop her? He said, oh, no, let her eat it first, and then we'll see what happens, and then I'll take it. Men are like that. I'm speaking of my own gender, folks. So it has nothing to do with the ability of women. Women are great teachers, and they are a great part of the priesthood of God. When we lose our positions as priests, we lose that special relationship with God. We are no longer in His personal service, no longer given the peace and comfort that comes with serving in the true house of the Lord. We lose so much personally, but those around us lose much more. Now, when we serve God as we should, it's like being a servant in the king's house. What do you have to worry about when you're a servant in the king's house? You got plenty of food. You got nice clothes. You got something to do every day. You got nice people to talk to. You're in the palace. When you serve the Lord, He does the same thing. He gives you peace and comfort and the knowledge that you're right with Him. Now, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, it says in Hosea, or because you have forgotten to read, study, and apply the Word of God to yourself and to your duties as priest, there will be consequences. It says, I will also forget thy children. What a terrible thing for God to say that He will forget your children. Or our children. This is where I wanted to bring you to explain how our country could go from a Christian foundation to the anti-Christian nation that it has now become. For over 100 years, our nation held the Word of God as the foundation of all learning. Our families taught it in almost every home. Our churches taught it every week. Our schools taught it, and our government respected it. Through this time, our nation became the most prosperous and powerful in the world, so powerful that it saved the rest of the world several times from its own destruction. Satan knew that the strength of the Word of God lay in the responsibility God gave to the Christian priesthood. Just as He did in Israel, He needed to do this also in America. He had to destroy the priesthood. Folks, for those over 100 years, our nation was an agricultural nation. Most of the people were farmers. Now, how close-knit is a family when they're farmers? They're pretty close, aren't they? They work together. They eat together. Think about it, folks. They have to sit down three times a day and eat together. Wow. They have time to spend with each other. The mom and dad have time to teach their children about the Word of God. And our country prospered. It became great because the Word of God was spread out to all people. The Word of God was taught. I mean, if you would take some of the doctrine that we hear today in some of these churches and take them back 100 years, I mean, even the most liberal churches 100 years ago would probably burn the pastor at the stake for being a heretic. But it's changed. The foundation of the priesthood lay within the Christian family. As long as parents taught their children the Word of God, God would remember those children and bring them into salvation and into the priesthood. So Satan brought in a war that pushed our fathers into the outside world to experience sin that they had never known before. And they brought those sins back to America. In Hosea 4:7, right there it says, as they were increased, so they sinned against me, therefore will I change their glory into shame. What war was that? World War I. We were a pretty isolated country here. Mostly farmers. I mean, the only people that traveled were the wealthy. So the rest of the world wasn't really known. But come World War I, you took all these doughboys here in America and you shipped them over into Europe. Well, they got an education over there. Not only an education of the terrible things that happen in war, that they got an education in death and just horrors that we can't imagine. But they also got introduced to other cultures, which they brought back with them and brought back sin with them. And if you think about it, they brought back an idea that they didn't want to be on the farm. That's why you had the Roaring Twenties, folks. Because then, men, they wanted to get off the farm and go work. They wanted to go work in the factories. They wanted to make money. And they wanted, yeah, they wanted things for their families, but it also took them away from their families. Because now they're working in the factories. They're not home to eat with the kids and with the wife. So that right there, that removes one person from the priesthood of the family. He then brought another war that pulled millions of mothers into the workforce to let them experience sin and independence from their families. That was World War II. World War II was the greatest influx of women into the workforce that America had ever seen. Millions and millions of women left the farm and started working in the factories. And once they started working in the factories, guess what? That was great. Hey, I can work and make my own money, and I can spend it the way I want to. Wow, this is great. This is independence. Why do I want to stay home with the kids when I can work out in the factories and I can make money, I can do the things I want to. I can enjoy the pleasures of the world. So guess what? Satan had accomplished what he needed to. Because now, with the mother and father working outside the home, where were the kids? We had great prosperity in the 50s. Why? Because you had two incomes coming in. The mother and the father. And guess what our society said? Wow, that's profitable. Let's raise prices. Since now there's two incomes coming in, we can raise prices. Once prices began to raise, guess what? The mom and dad on the farm, they couldn't afford things. So the dad had to go to work, even the ones on the farm. And then finally, the mother had to go to work. And of course, with prosperity comes what? Covetousness. Wow. Did you see what the neighbors bought? Did you see that new boat? Did you see the house they moved in? Wow, we need that for our kids. And two, my parents were the same way. We want an easier life for our kids than we had. So they're working day and night. They're not home to take care of the kids. I mean, I had good parents. Don't get me wrong. That was just society at the time. And it is today. Our families are broke up today because people are now working to survive. Now you have to have the mother and father working outside the home, and they still can't make enough to feed their children, let alone make a better life for them. So now that Satan had the parents seeking pleasure and success outside the home, the end of the priesthood had begun. Because parents saw their failure to teach their children the Word of God, they depended on the schools, the churches, and the government to teach them. Does that sound familiar? Yeah, well, that's okay. We'll send them to church on Sunday. And we know that they're teaching the Bible in the school. Well, guess what, folks? Those children that weren't taught the Word of God, they grew up. And they became heads of schools and heads of government and heads of churches. We don't want the Bible in schools. It's not relevant anymore. I grew up without the Bible. These kids don't need it either. They took it out. Christians tried to put it back in. Guess what? The same children that were head of government said, we're going to protect the schools. The Bible stays out because we don't want it taught there. It's actually teaching children not to steal, not to lie, not to cheat. We don't want that in our schools. Because how are they going to become politicians? Right? And we like politicians. So Satan has his way. And the priesthood had fallen. At least most of it. Satan succeeded in Israel and he has succeeded in the United States. But just like in Israel, God always keeps a remnant of people that have not bowed the knee to other gods. People that still convey God's word to others and still fulfill responsibilities of the Christian priesthood. These are those that are in the priesthood and those that have accepted Jesus Christ, who he will come and get just before he brings judgment on this earth, just before the great tribulation period. So I caution you, my brothers and sisters in Christ, as I remind myself every day, and I do. I try to tell myself every day, I have not always been a good priest of God, and I have not always praised those that were. But as I get deeper into God's Word, He forgives me of my past and allows me to serve Him more. You too can find yourself being used more of God if you would just work at knowing God's Word. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is needeth not to be ashamed, at rightly dividing the Word of God. That it doesn't apply to pastors or teachers. It applies to all Christians. Me, you, everyone that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. We have that responsibility. If you do not remember anything I've said thus far, remember this. Everyone will stand before Jesus Christ for judgment. Those that reject Him in this life as Lord and Savior will stand before Him as their sentencing judge. Sentencing judge. Because the Bible says, he that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So, if you haven't put your trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're already condemned. But you can accept Christ this morning if you're sitting here. And you can put that condemnation aside and say, the price has been paid because I have put my faith in Jesus Christ. If you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you will stand before Him as the Lord to judge your service to Him. You will answer to Him for your work in fulfilling your responsibilities as a priest of God and of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now we still have many people declaring that the depraved condition of our country is due to the fault of our government and our schools. I hear that all the time. We got to get the Bible back into schools. Wait a minute. We have Muslim teachers, we have atheist teachers in our schools. Are we going to have them teach the Word of God to our children? That's not what I want. I want Christians teaching the Word of God to my children and my grandchildren. Their intentions are honorable, but they fail to see where the root cause is. At the day of judgment, it will not be the government that is condemned for its support of sin. And the schools will not be held accountable for their rejection of the Word of God. Not even our churches will suffer condemnation for their distortion of God's Word. It is we, the individuals, the priesthood of God and of Christ, that will answer for the destruction of my people. Folks, this life is very short. I mean, we have people here in their 70s, 80s. I think any one of them would tell you how fast their life went. Just, it's gone. Like a vapor. Do you ever see how long a vapor lasts? No time at all. That's our life. I'm a young 62 years old. I can't remember anything. I can only remember a small part of my life of 62 years. It's so quick, folks. So quick. And we're making decisions now that will affect our eternity. If we spend our entire life, every waking moment of our life, studying God's Word, teaching God's Word, preaching God's Word, telling other people about Jesus Christ, it would be that big. It wouldn't even be measurable when you compare it to eternity. But when you think of that and compare it to the question you will get in eternity, this has to give you something to think about. When you stand before Jesus Christ and He says, "What did you do with my word?" That answer will be with you for eternity. "I did nothing. I didn't study it. I didn't teach it. I didn't tell others about it. I accepted it and I got saved. And I get to live with you for eternity. But I didn't do anything else with it." So folks, when you go home today, when you work through this week, think about these things and ask yourself, do I have 10 minutes to pick up God's Word and read it today? Do I have questions about God's Word that I want answered? Do I have somebody that I can tell about Jesus Christ because He's instructed me to do that? Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this wonderful day, Lord. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the privilege and honor to serve. We ask, Lord, that You help us to understand what You've given us this morning, Lord, that You apply it to our hearts and our life. Help us all, Lord, to be better priests of You, to study Your Word, to apply it, to tell others about it. That's what You've given us to do, Lord. It's a very small thing, and You've made the promise, Lord, that You will supply us with all of our needs to do just that. Help us, Lord, to do it more, to do it more often, to do it every chance that we're given to do. Help us, Lord, in this. And be with this church, Lord, as it grows. Help us to put Your Word as a foundation to this church, Lord, that we never forget why we're here. We never forget that it's by Jesus Christ that we are saved, and that it's by Jesus Christ that others can be saved. We ask these things in Jesus' name.